It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are happy to have special guest Michelle Simons with us, who is a local chiropractor and a doctor here in town that owns her own practice. And, you know, when I say chiropractor, nothing against chiropractors, but I don't feel like that really does Michelle's work justice, because there are so many awesome things that herself and others are really doing in this space that really lend a hand to natural health and actual healing. Michelle, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, and that was quite the introduction.
So just maybe, if you could give us just a quick, just a little drawback of, you know, like what got you into doing what you're doing and where you really are hoping to take it.
Sure, that's quite the loaded question there too. So my initial experience with chiropractic was I had a big gust of wind blow my tuba that I was playing backwards. So I think it was like divine intervention, Holy Spirit kind of thing. You know, this gust of wind blows me back, throws my back out, and no medication was even coming close to touching the pain that I had. So I went to my chiropractor, he adjusted me, and instantaneously that sharp pain that was keeping me from breathing was gone. And I felt led to change my path. I graduated from University of Findlay. I was a pre-vet and biology major. I was going to be a veterinarian, and God had other ideas for me.
Okay.
So that was my start. And then just kind of looking into the natural healthcare realm, I found that I liked that model a whole lot better. It just seemed to fit a lot better with God's design for our bodies and how we're really meant to live. So that was kind of my journey and my start. Where I'd love to take the profession is, you know, to work integratively with other doctors and healthcare professionals. I think the last, you know, 4 years have taught us a lot about medical model, and a lot of people seem to be a little dissatisfied, to say
the
least.
That's putting it
politely. Yeah, right? And are looking to kind of take charge of their own health. And my goal really is to empower people, to teach, to help them come to, you know, better understanding of the way their bodies work. So yeah, that's where I've been. That's where I'd like to go.
Awesome. I can think of a time when I was first introduced to this holistic medicine, when we've had our first daughter, who now actually visits you. But back in the day when she was first born, she kept having these rashes and constipation. We took her to the doctor numerous times, and they would tell us everything's fine, or they would tell us to try this, and nothing was working. So we finally visited a chiropractor who was doing muscle testing, and, you know, we're on our way there, and I'm just kind of like, I don't really believe in this stuff. And I'm just kind of sitting back in the corner as she's doing this muscle testing, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of nonsense.
And common, yeah.
Thankfully, she had the courage to kind of just turn around and call me out. And she was like, she goes, you don't really believe in this, do you? And I'm like, I got to be honest. You asked, I don't. And she goes, I understand. That's like you just said, it's pretty common. And she goes, but I think your daughter has dairy sensitivity. And oftentimes, if that's the case, one of their parents probably suffered from ear infections quite frequently as a child because they have dairy sensitivity. And I'm like, oh, well, I used to get earaches all the time.
She nailed it, didn't she? Nailed it.
And she goes, well, would you like to see if you have dairy sensitivity? And I said, well, sure. I mean, I can't, not going to hate on what you're doing here without trying it, right? So she comes over, and this gal's probably 130 pounds, not very big at all. And she goes, all right, hold your arm out. You know, let me try to push down on it. She doesn't move it. And she goes, here, hold this little vial. It's got, you know, the milk. And she shoves my arm down like it was me shoving her arm down. I probably had the most astonished look on my face. And I go, all right, you've made a believer of me. And she goes, yeah, here, I'm going to give you guys these two formulas that are going to clear the situation. I'll try one of the two. If one doesn't work, try the other one, and you should have no problem. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks later, Ivy's issues gone. It certainly made a believer of me in a moment's notice. And that's why I said nothing against chiropractic, because I think that obviously helps us very much so in our everyday lives as well, being adjusted and put back in the way we belong. But I think what you guys do is so much more powerful of actual healing versus more of a big pharma model that's, you know, it's centered on making money, not necessarily on, healing the individual.
Right. And leading people, you know, along that journey too. There's just so much more. I think that when you look at the underlying cause of things, rather than just covering over symptoms, it does make a huge difference for people. Like, you know, you can give antibiotics for the inflammation in the ears that are causing the chronic ear infections, and you can take away the bacterial levels. But when you don't take away that cause, it's causing the inflammation, in your case, dairy, then you're not really going to get further ahead. And then, you know, it's surgical intervention with the tubes in the ears. And
yep, I have that.
Yep. I find a lot of times if you can get to that root cause, you know, a dairy sensitivity or whatever that's driving some of that inflammation, it makes a huge difference for people.
So I think maybe a better way of what I just said would be that the big pharma system is much more focused on treatment, because treatment's going to pay over and over again, versus a cure that is going to lead you to an actual solution to your problem versus a masking of your symptoms. Because not saying antibiotics don't hold a place in some cases.
Right, but absolutely.
Anthro is also wiping out the good bacteria we have, along with maybe the negative bacteria growth.
For sure. And then, you know, now they just had that study where they're looking at taking the fluoroquinone class of antibiotics off of the market, just because they've had so many issues with things. It has a black box warning on it already, which means it can cause death. But they've had trouble with aortic aneurysms. They've had trouble with tissue, tendon ruptures, ligament ruptures, those kinds of things. And it has really wrecked some people's lives. So they're looking at reevaluating that whole entire class of antibiotics. They're a heavy hitting one, great for when people need them, but they can really, you know, have an impact on a person's life.
Longevity.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And just quality of life in the interim. It's done some damage to people, unfortunately. So I agree that, you know, we need triage sometimes. We need, you know, an antibiotic or something when things are really serious and you got to get checked out that way. But if you can get to the root cause of things, then why wouldn't you?
Right. So this shouldn't be our point A of starting point, is to run and get one because we got the sniffles, or which we've all been kind of in some ways conditioned to do.
Sure.
And as you just said with medications, we're speaking of antibiotics here, but doesn't it kind of seem oftentimes with many of these prescription medications that are put out there that in the beginning it's all, you know, rainbows and butterflies, this stuff works great. And then we kind of find maybe 5 to 10 years down the road, we've got some big law firm commercial on TV that says if you've been injured by this medication,
oh, absolutely,
may be entitled to legal settlements. And
how many times have we heard safe and effective for all kinds of things?
That's a good one.
And the other, there's this one company, a three-letter organization that's supposed to regulate things, but they're approving drugs that you just said are later part of a class action lawsuit. Then it's even the commercials today. Everyone's got a disclaimer, which we probably, you want to go ahead and give a disclaimer for all your stuff real
quick?
Yes,
absolutely. Thank you. So my opinions are my own, and don't take anything that I say as medical advice. Contact your physician, but my opinions are my own, and the research that I give is stuff that I have kind of come to conclusions on my own on. So thank you.
Yeah. So disclaimers, but if you've seen the disclaimers that are on the pharmaceutical commercials on TV where Crohn's disease, you're having something with Crohn's disease, but then you go and see the symptoms that you're treating and the probable, possible other problems it can create, it's like, which one's worse, the disease or the medicine?
Yeah. Right. You listed 25 side effects, and death might be one of them.
Right.
Yeah. It's horrifying.
I feel like, too, if at the end you always have the... if they actually slowed that down, you'd have a separate commercial in itself.
You really would. Yeah. And the fine print on all of that. Yeah. So to your point with the muscle testing, it does seem a little weird and seems a little woo-woo. And I know people go into like, oh, is this witchcraft or whatever? It's basically your body has a negative 70 millivolt action potential in all the cells. So you are essentially a circuit breaker, wiring system, electrical box. So if we think of it like that, we're just testing the electrical circuitry. When I come into the room and I ask the light switch to flip on, does it come on? And if it doesn't, what's the thing that's stopping that wiring from connecting?
When I was a kid, my dad's a doctor, medical doctor. And one of the things I remember them doing, they'd have you cross your leg and they would test your reflexes. and you're just testing a different reflex.
Essentially, yeah. It's a little, you know, more complicated than that, but is definitely... we're looking at, you know, we call it like circuit breakers. And I guess the best way to explain it is an electrical. It's like, it's either that reflex is either there or it isn't. And it's based off of cerebellar postural tone. So when we're muscle testing, that's basically the system that we're kind of tapping into is neurological.
So it's a response. Your body responds to the stimuli.
Yep.
Like certain things you put in your mouth, your body reacts.
Yes, right? Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So what is it when you guys, I feel like some people do it with a little tool mechanism and some people do it with just their hands or their fingers, almost kind of like feel around in different places and just make subtle movements. What is actually taking place in that instance?
So I think some of us have gotten so good at sensing energy and being in tune with another person's electricity that we have multiple ways that we can test a person. So some people use like a little, I call it a squeaker board. They basically run a little wooden gadget over this little board and it'll make a squeak sound when you hit like a negative thing, which sounds really interesting to the ear. It's kind of like, whew, yeah, grating. But we have all kinds of different ways, but a lot of us have developed different techniques out of Versendahl was the originator and discoverer of, you know, muscle testing. But that's, there's so many different ways to do that. A lot of us also have different chiropractic techniques that we use that we've learned. So some of us do muscle release, which is the system that I prefer, just because it's a lot more gentle on the body, a lot more comfortable, and it helps adjustments to hold better too. Some people really like the cavitational adjustments where it's the manual, you know, the deep breath in and, have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids love that one. It's, yeah, funny. But we all have different techniques that we've learned that we kind of navigate towards because our, I think our calling on our life helps to steer us. You know, we're all given gifts and talents and that's, we naturally have those things kind of in our mind that we like to study. So
you're saying you've developed a sensitivity to energy fields that we all emit,
right?
And so you're able to pick up on these things that most of us are ignoring and you're going, okay, that one's off.
Yeah. It's a lot of like a God created intuition. Some of that's, you know, based with different personality types and that kind of thing too. But yes, I think it's just kind of like asking Holy Spirit, hey, you know, what's going on with this person? Help me figure them out. And yeah, just giving me the sensitivity and awareness to feel the reaction and change in my body and for them watching their arm, like you did, Tyler, watching your arm go weak. Like it's a very clear-cut thing, you know.
Sure.
I have the same thing with my field as a preacher. It's the feel of a room, and you read the room. It's one thing to read the room. It's something else to change the temperature of the room, and that's what you're doing. Is they're walking in one way and they're leaving another, right? They're broken.
That's my goal.
Yeah,
that would be the goal.
So, would you say it's like? Would it be fair to say this works very much off of vibration and frequency?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the creation, like everything is frequency. You look at colors, they have a frequency. You look at sound, it's all frequency based.
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Satoshi Emoto or not, and his water experiment.
Yep, absolutely love that one, isn't it? Yeah.
What he was able to do with playing different music and taping different words to the jars of water, the way that he was able to change water molecule structures.
Yes, to a crystalline structure.
Yes, and even taking heavily damaged water that was in a dirty dam and basically speaking good words over it and praying over it, and he returned the water to its original structure.
Right. And the fact that our bodies are, you know, 80% water, how much that plays into what we speak over our kids, what we speak over ourselves, our spouses, you know, there's definitely something to be said because our cells have memory. There was a study that I was just reading last night about heart transplant patients and how they have cellular memory. So these heart transplant patients were actually taking on personalities and memories of the donors.
I think I've read that same thing.
Yeah. So just incredible, like, you know, that the memory is actually stored in the cells. So you think of like every emotion that you have, there's a memory stored somewhere in your body for that. That will create tight muscles, that will create subluxations, that will, you know, create dysfunction in a body.
Because our composition is so similar, there are probably some things that we could all do that would have life-altering positive effects on our health. we're all made of water. So if you were to drink clean water versus dirty water,
that would make a big difference. Cholera-laced water is probably not a good idea.
Right. What would be some things that you think that everyone would benefit from if they did these certain things that would directly improve your health within days or weeks or months?
Yeah, obviously water content. But the other thing that contains energy and what we call life force are whole foods. So that's a huge part of this too. And it can be, you know, I'm not a vegetarian, so, but monitoring where your food comes from and what you are taking in, because processed food is essentially dead. Mm. Microwaved food is essentially dead. There's no life in it.
So basically all nutrients have been stripped.
And nutrients have been stripped, and the vitality, the vibrational frequency has been stripped out of those foods as well. It has no life in it to give. So not just nutrients and minerals.
So there's an exchange that occurs when you eat something that's alive.
Yeah.
That does not occur when it's been either cooked or removed from time.
The more dead it gets.
Right. Yeah. That exchange, you may get the nutrient, but you're not getting the energy.
And some of those are, and some of those nutrients are obviously vitamin C is destroyed in the cooking process too. Some of those are made more available. Vitamin A is made more available when you cook it because it's encapsulated. So there are some foods that do need to be cooked, but closer to nature you can get with your food, and that's just a good general rule. So, greens and salads and steak that has been properly raised, it's definitely going to have a different energetic profile than Doritos or
Doritos, the other vegetable.
So you'd stick away from this new lab-grown meat we're rolling out with.
I would probably tend to avoid that. Yeah, that would not be on my plate. And it's hard to. I don't even know how they're like 3D printing it. What is? Yeah, I don't even know how they're manufacturing it.
I saw a process online where they were spinning.
Was it the one with the salmon?
No, it was. I'm trying to remember how they were actually painting this flour, gelatin, all this different content, and it looked just like meat.
Delicious.
Yeah, and they were using food coloring, and it's like, what in the world? And adding certain things so that it had like fibers that resembled meat. And it's not just that though. Then you get into the mRNA stuff they're injecting into meat. That's the antibiotics they inject into the meat. All these things that are supposed to be for our health have consequences, unintended consequences. Then we're back to the medicine part.
Sure.
What you're saying is we've got to try and remove those toxins that man created.
Absolutely.
From our food and eat it the way God gave it to us as he intended.
Yes.
I even feel like I'm only 31, and just in my short time of being here, there are so many more allergies today than even when I was a kid. I don't remember anybody being, allergic to eggs or peanuts, or now we have gluten allergies everywhere. Like what's going on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Obviously when you directly inject things that are meant to cause a reaction to the immune system, you will get unintended consequences from the contaminants. So there's, corn oil, peanut oil, some of those things that are in, injectables, that's triggering the immune system intentionally. So, but then our immune system, hey, I'm supposed to react to this because this was in that thing that I was also supposed to react to. And you get some crossover sensitivity. The other thing too, with our food, they are adding a class called excitotoxins. And this is a part of your question from earlier, Jeff, about I don't know what they're putting in the food, but it, makes me want more of it. So those, those tasty Doritos, they have studied, this class of excitotoxins that basically there's glutamate. So you probably heard of monosodium glutamate or MSG. That is in this class. It causes the neurons to fire sometimes until they die, but it really lights up the brain. So, this is like full on bombardment. The brain gets super excited about these classes. If you don't have enough magnesium to block those channels, then you will not tolerate high amounts of, so it's kind of a balance. You've got to have little bits of glutamate, because that's, in our ancient physiology, that told us, this is good food. I can eat this. It's naturally found in spinach and beans and tomatoes and some of those things naturally occurring, but we, you know, supercharge it in the food industry. And if you don't have sufficient magnesium in your system from eating dark leafy greens, you will become out of balance and you'll have things, symptomatology of like ADHD or seizure disorder sometimes, headaches, migraine headaches are also very common with MSG. So a lot of it goes back to food when we, you know, get things out of balance.
If I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that because of some of the processes, we're able to create concentrations of naturally or even good things at levels that become toxic.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
So we've almost created a pathway of oversensitivity along with a hyperactive immune response.
Yes. So kind of two different things there. You know, the excitotoxins being the taste bud receptors that make us want more of a food. They figured that out very well. And then the injectables, skewing the immune system to react to things that are injected. Because normally in our stomach, we have a barrier, a lining. So when proteins go in, they never go through to the bloodstream or should not go through to the bloodstream unescorted. So they kind of dock, they get into a taxi, and then they can go into the bloodstream and go to the cells. These are proteins. So when we lose what's called tight junctions in the small intestine, there's intestinal villi, so they're little projections in the small intestine that kind of help those carrier molecules to have sites to dock to so that they can be escorted through the blood. When the system is damaged, when the small intestine is damaged from either antibiotics or aspirin use, lots of pharmaceuticals can damage that system. And then the injectables, unfortunately, another one that can damage that intestinal system. Those molecules that are in the food will then go into the bloodstream unescorted, and that sets up your immune system to react, because we should not have, you know, foreign DNA just floating around in our bloodstream. That would mean we would grow eyes in our liver, and that's not a good situation. So
isn't there also the blood-brain barrier? Is that separate than the barrier you're talking about?
So there is a blood-brain barrier that is specialized endothelial lining. So the blood vessels in the brain also have a special barrier there, and they did not used to think that the brain had its own immune system or a lymph system. They actually just discovered, I want to say maybe 2010, it was actually a fairly recent discovery that things do cross through into the brain and toxins can cross through easily. And there's a whole glymphatic system that actually helps the brain to drain toxins. So they didn't used to think that that was a thing, that there was no immune system. They now know that the brain has its own kind of, not wholly separate, but its own system for dealing with things. So
now, would you say our most important starting point for good health comes from the gut?
Yeah, you have to have an intact gut in order to absorb any minerals, any nutrients. You have to break down things appropriately. That comes from having a healthy liver, which produces enzymes, your stomach producing hydrochloric acid, your B12 is absorbed through the stomach, and that decreases as we age. When we are about 60, we have about 20% of the digestive capacity that we had in our 20s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think, too, something you pointed to earlier that I kind of just thought of, and I wonder if there's any correlation, is you kind of talked about intuition a little bit, which is something I'm a big believer in. What does intuition show itself? And to me, I would kind of say it's that gut feeling. So with a healthy gut,
absolutely,
kind of brings alongside healthy intuition, right? Part of being really in tune.
Yeah. And that's kind of our center of self. That's, you know, kind of like our gut is our sense of like, good, you know, you have, like you say, those bad gut feelings or whatever. That's, and so having an intact gut and good gut health, that can absolutely increase your awareness and your situation. And also, too, I think it plays into your knowing who you are and what your giftings are in life and those kinds of things, too. There's a whole realm of exploration to be done in that area.
Don't they say there are neurons in your gut? Right.
Second highest concentration of neurons apart from the brain and spinal cord.
Yeah.
So it's
So it's not just a gut feeling. There's actually some mind to that, right?
Correct.
So we could almost really call our gut our second brain.
Absolutely. And it is referred to it as that too. Yeah.
And then another question I had for you is the prominence of autism now. You know, in the 80s was almost unheard of, right? It was maybe one in 10,000, several thousand per capita. Then we moved into one in 500, maybe down to one in 250, one in 100, 1 in 60, and I think we're at maybe close to 1 in 40 to 1 in 30.
I think 1 in 36 now is the last statistic that I heard.
What is going on that we have seen this rapid jump in 30 or 40 years?
Yeah, there's a lot to explore with that. Glyphosate could be one link. Definitely aluminum as an adjuvant. You know, kiddos used to have, I think maybe, you know, I'm going to get on the odd subject here, but they used to have maybe 36 shots, I think, back in my day. Now, before a child is 18, now the schedule's increased to 100. So 100 That's shots insane. By the time that they're 18 is on the CDC's recommended schedule. So I can't help but think that, you know, maybe we haven't explored all of the possible detrimental outcomes of that, because it is a protected thing. The National Vaccine Act of 1984 gave the corporations essentially no liability.
Yeah, there's total immunity.
Yep, it's a payout court system, and the burden of proof to prove that you were injured is on the injured person. So there's not, and it's a very tough system to kind of go through for people to walk through. So a lot of people just don't check that out. So I think that's, you know, and they've also implicated Tylenol as a possible cause too. They said that women who took Tylenol during pregnancy and gave their babies Tylenol have higher rates of autism than those who did not use Tylenol. And there is a mechanism for that. So I think there's a whole downstream effect. So, you know, normal course is like you give your baby your shots, they spike a fever, they tell them, you know, just give the baby a little Tylenol to get that fever down.
And so you might have just got double whammy.
Yeah. So you're also depleting the glutathione that the body has to get out those toxins. So that's what one of the main implications of Tylenol use does, is it depletes your body's stores of glutathione, which is an intracellular detoxifier.
So all of our things that we're trying to do to mitigate sickness, disease, the propaganda, I don't know what else to call it, the propaganda where they're getting positive press, there's reason to question maybe some of the medicines or the health advice that we've been given, because we're seeing an increase in disease and sickness and side effects that even they don't have an explanation for, right? What are they saying? That maybe, well, maybe it was always there and we're just now being able to notice it.
The biggest thing that I see that I have issue, that I take issue with, is when they say that it's genetic. And that's a problem for one main reason. And it's a study that was series of studies. Bruce Lipton, I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a PhD researcher. But he found there's a whole field called epigenetics. And it's essentially the process that, like, these things in the environment turn on and turn off genes and gene regulators. So really our genes are under control of our environment. So again, it goes back to environmental. There's got to be an environmental cause for what's going on.
I've told Jeff this multiple times, a little off topic here, but when you just said epigenetics, I very much so believe with the whole Jeffrey Epstein situation that as much as there is some disgraceful, you know, people being sex trafficked, I think something that is not often considered is the amount of people who were trafficked for experimentation to look into things exactly along the lines of what you're talking about in terms of turning on and turning off genes and how they're able to accomplish that, not necessarily in ways for good.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Well, we know the Nazis were doing experiments on people to see how long can you live without a liver
and
all those horrible things. And I guess the scary part is, based on what Tyler's saying, is that maybe some of those experiments haven't ended.
Yeah, I don't think they ever stopped.
Yeah.
And
just went to a broader scale.
Sure. Well, yeah. And how many, we have a society that is kind of obsessive on looking younger, not aging, and almost in some ways living forever. So how many people, once again, a part of this situation, I'm not just saying Jeffrey Epstein, I think it's probably a worldwide issue, are having organs harvested for experimentation along with transplanting into those with the ability and resource to obtain them so that they may prolong their living existence.
It's almost like we've become vampires of the movies, the monsters, because take stem cells. Many of the stem cells that people are having injected in them, especially overseas, where are those stem cells coming from? Well, sometimes, not always, but sometimes they're coming from a person that was alive whose life was cut short. Maybe we call it an abortion, but it's murder, where they take this child's stem cells and give them to somebody else. So it's life extension technology, mm-hmm. but you're taking a life to extend the life of another, and it's vampiric.
Have you seen where they've done consciousness transplants? They're mm-hmm. experimenting with that now, so they're developing like... you know, obviously Dolly the sheep was cloned in the 90s, and then we didn't hear anything else about cloning. Like, oh, that's not a thing anymore.
just went only, away after we did
only
it.
Only on the sheep. but they have experimented with like transplanting consciousness and memories.
That sounds like that movie called The Island, where people were having these doppelganger clones of themselves made for the purpose of transferring their consciousness when right. the time was right, because their
so
old body
then you
wore
could
out.
Live forever, you know. Right, and right. I think you know that kind of ties in with probably you know some of the events written in Revelation, and yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of biblical principles there.
And with this new mRNA technology, this is a gene therapy, right?
As my understanding, yes.
I mean, I think that kind of illustrates kind of what I was just talking about, that they really haven't ever stopped studying and experimenting with gene therapies. And now we're kind of seeing them come to the forefront as far as being introduced to society as new technology.
Yeah, there's a part of the cell that is programmed, you know, to die. And that's part of like cellular regeneration. And when a cell gets too old, too damaged, too diseased, it'll set up a signal and says, hey, come take me out. And that is part of what we call proper programmed cell death. It's apoptosis. So what if you have a gene regulator modification switch that can just shut that switch off, and then that cell never dies? Obviously, sometimes that will happen in cancer. Where cells continually grow out of control and they're not healthy, but you know, on the whole for the body, what are the implications if you just shut that switch off through mRNA coding? There's lots of implications.
Well, interestingly, what are we seeing skyrocket right now?
Right.
Yeah. We're all trying to navigate health and a better life. What are some things that you're trying to do to help facilitate a healthy environment for your family?
So speak life over your kids, read the Bible, and go for daily walks, move more. Eat better food, so have a salad every day. Like, make that a goal to get in, you know, your vegetables with your main meal. Have a balanced meal. Eat from the world. Do, like, you know, some fun, like, cultural exploration. Have some food from India. Have, you know, because there's other cultures that we're missing out on nutrients because we're so locked into, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, and pizzas in the U.S. Eat from around the world and just be, you know, express loving and kindness. And when you don't feel like it, you know, go into your quiet shell and figure out the hobbies and things that make you happy. Have a good outlet for those, you know. Hobbies are great too.
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for joining us. This has been awesome. I think all of us have learned much more than we knew before we started this, and I hope the viewers, if this is something that you haven't necessarily considered before, take a look at this, and you know, maybe you start with visiting Michelle, maybe you start with visiting, you know, some internet platforms and doing some research for yourself and seeing that there is much more out there than what we're told in the sense of the mainstream as the best case scenarios for solving your health issues.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here today.
Absolutely. And where, if people are interested in seeing you, where can they find you?
We're at Simon's Family Chiropractic, and we're on East Sandusky Street, just down from the fairgrounds.
Alrighty.
Got a phone number you want to give?
You're out, 419-427-2100.
Schedule those appointments now for 2025.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's blindly obvious, baby.